And good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this Tuesday. It's the 17th day of June. And, of course, we got Tim O'Dell in with us this morning. And, of course, his sidekick's not with him today. So this is the first time Tim's ever had it just by himself.
Yeah, the first time I've gone solo.
Solo?
So I'll speak so low no one can hear me.
Oh, you got to speak up. You got to be loud and proud. But it's good to have you this morning, brother.
Good to be here, Brian.
I tell you what a beautiful day it is in the Lord. Of course, I say it every day. It's a beautiful day, no matter what it looks like on the outside.
This is the day the Lord has made.
That's
we
right.
will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. That's good words.
That is good words.
Good words. Good
I didn't
words.
Write them.
No, but it's in a good book.
It's in the good book.
In the good book. That's right. So, but anyway, I know this morning I said, I think you said you wanted to start off maybe in Psalms
88.
88.
Yeah. Psalms 88 is a cry from the heart.
Okay.
And here's how he opens. O Lord, the God of my salvation, I have cried out by day and in the night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul has had enough troubles, and my life has drawn near to Sheol.
Mm-hmm.
You ever feel like your life's had enough troubles?
Sure. Absolutely. I think all of us have.
Yeah, all of us have gotten points. I've had enough.
I've had enough.
Not that you can do anything about it.
No.
Whatever lot the Lord has assigned to me is my lot. I need to walk in that.
Sure.
And I need to be thankful for it. For mm-hmm. Scripture says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yes.
In all things.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I've had enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I can remember Tim back, I think it was a few years ago, went through a little rough patch, and I just stopped one day. And matter of fact, it was at the radio station in Elkton. I remember going in the door, and I said, Lord, I said, I've just had enough. I said, this is just too much. I said, And but on the other hand, when we go through the trials, we learn. It's a learning stage.
Trial and tribulation worketh patience.
That's it. That's it. And sometimes that patience is hard.
Well, but patience is produced by trial and tribulation.
That's it.
If you don't have trial, you'll never learn to be patient.
That's true. Very, very true. So patience is important.
Yep.
It really is. Well, Tim, I tell you what, let's squeeze a song in real quick, and then we'll come and back and talk some more. How's that sound?
You squeeze it very tight, it's squeak.
I know. We'll have to put some WD-40 on it.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What kind of Christian are you? A lot of Christians are like wheelbarrows, not good unless pushed. Some are like kites. If you don't keep a string on them, they fly away. Some are like kittens. They're more contented when petted. Some are like a football. You can't tell what way they will bounce next. Some are like balloons, full of hot air and ready to blow up. Some are like trailers. They have to be pulled. Some are like neon lights. They keep going on and off. Let's be that light that reflects the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's let our little light shine. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Just helps me stay in touch with Christ and guide my day and keep me on the right path.
It really inspires me to just keep my eyes focused on the Lord.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Exalting King Jesus with music and more. Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the Front Porch here on this 17th day of June. Of course, Tim O'Dell in with us this morning. And I like what, Ken talking about, let your light shine. There's so many varieties of, different things there, but let's let our little light shine.
You remember that little song, This Little Light of Mine.
I'm going to let it shine.
I'm going to let it shine.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that so precious?
It's, out of all the little songs, I guess, through my Christian life, that's one that you always sticks in your mind,
Yeah.
Because
that one in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, because you just, I want to be able to go out every single day and let my light shine. I want people to look upon my life and say, hey, you know, I'd like to have what he has.
Yeah.
You know, if we're the world, you know, we could go out and act like the world every single day. But to be different, to be a peculiar person, which the Bible says we're supposed to be peculiar, that means different. So, I mean, you know, I want to be different, you know. And I was sharing, matter of fact, with a young lady the other day at our local store, and I had seen a picture of her and her mom on Facebook, and we was, you know, kind of talking a little bit, and I said, it's good to take pictures. I said, because there's memories in those pictures, you know. And she said, we only have one life to live. And I looked at her. I said, well, I said, if you're a child of God, I said, yeah. I said, we have a life to live forever. I said, you know, after we leave this life, we go into another life. And we live forever if we're a Christian. And she said, you know what? You're right. She said, you know, I said, but make those memories now, of course, you know, while you got time. But it's good to know that when we leave here that we have another place to go.
Well, we want people to have the same recognition in us that they had recorded in Acts 4:13.
Mm-hmm.
Now they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men.
Mm-hmm.
They were amazed and began to recognize as them as having been with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
Yeah.
They should be able to see our involvement with Christ and see him in us.
It's
not about calling attention to ourselves.
No.
It's about calling attention to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He is the central figure of all of creation.
Sure, sure.
That's why the last book of the Bible is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ.
That's it.
The final unveiling of who Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not entitled The Mystery of the Ages,
mm-mm,
but The Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we get caught up with the eschatology of it,
yeah,
the end times arguments, and fail to recognize that the focus of that book and this entire book,
mm-hmm,
is the person of Jesus Christ.
That's it. It.
If we understand that, it changes our life.
And, you know, when you talk, we kind of mentioned Revelations there, and I was thinking, you know, about Revelations. Everybody talks about, you know, Jesus' return, that Jesus is going to return. We all know that Jesus is going to return.
Triumphant.
Mm-hmm. Some people will say, well, like what's going on in Israel right now, it's part of the end times, it's going to happen, it's going to take place. Let's stop working because Jesus is coming back.
That's a bit premature, isn't it?
Very, very. But we need to work up until the time of our death, all the way to the end.
Yep.
Trying to get soul saves.
We need to be busy about the work.
About his business.
But we don't get anybody saved.
No.
That's God's work.
That's it.
Our work is the proclamation of the good news.
That's it.
Because we don't know who's chosen.
That's right.
We don't have a clue.
That's right.
We have no way of knowing.
I'm glad to know that, you know, I tell people, I said, you know, he tells us to catch them, and then he'll clean them up. You know. And that's the way I like to look at it. I mean, you know, we're his workers. We're supposed to bring them in, and then he'll clean them up. A lot of people think they have to be clean right off the bat once they give their life. You know, there's a learning stage after you give your life to Jesus.
Our relationship to Christ is the described in the Greek word doulos.
Uh-huh.
That's the word slave.
Yes.
Paul calls himself a bondservant in most translations.
Yes.
The Legacy Standard renders that word slave.
Yes.
Because we are not our own, we've been bought with a price. Is that, mm-hmm, true?
Very true.
I don't have any say-so about anything.
We don't have a say-so over nothing.
But if I'm called to obey, if you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Go, therefore, and make disciples. That's the commandment, isn't it?
That's the commandment.
Telling them and teaching them his commandments so that they can do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't save themselves. That's still the work of the Lord.
That's it.
So God calls, the Spirit draws,
mm-hmm,
And then what I must do is recognize his right to own me. Yes. And his right to direct my steps.
Yes.
That everything I do might honor him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's how we get to that place, that little light shining.
That's it. That's
but,
it.
But that's got to be pursued as long as there's breath in our body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as long as we're here on this earth, we continue to
amen.
Spread that word and do what he tells us to do. And
to the last breath.
To the very last breath.
Yes.
You know, and it's just, like I said, I see so many people just want to just lay down and say, well, this is going to happen. This is going to take place.
Well, it's going to take place, but that doesn't mean I have to give up.
To give up.
My direction.
Yes.
And continue to do all I can mm-hmm. to share the good news.
That's it.
Now,
that's it.
I can't make people listen.
No.
I can proclaim it.
That's all we can do.
I can share it.
I was also thinking a young man the other day, I was talking to him, and he said, where do you work at? And I said, well, I work at Missionary Radio. And he said, now is that a Christian radio station? I said, yes, sir. He says, is that all you listen to? I said, yes, sir. I said, back many years ago when I was young, I said, I was convicted. And he looked at me just as funny. He said, what does conviction mean? And I told him, I said, well, I said, you know, I said, after I gave my life to Jesus, I said, he works on you. I said, he convicts you of your sins, of things that you do. And I said, that was one of them. I said, I was into secular music and doing things like that. And I loved hard rock music. I said, that was my love. I loved it. I mean, I just liked it, you know. And I said, the Lord come to me one day and said, Brian, if you're going to serve me, you're going to serve me all the way.
Yeah.
And I said, I knew what he was talking about. So at that time, I laid it down, and I said, I don't have a desire to listen to it anymore. I said, so when I, you know, go out and I'm doing my works today, I said, you know, I listen to Christian music or Southern gospel music, whatever, just something that uplifts the Lord. I said, you know, that's what I want to listen to. That's what I want to fill my mind with. I said, I don't want to fill it with the things of the world. So
I mostly listen to the Word and to sermons.
That's it. That's good.
One of my favorites is a dead man by the name of Martin Lloyd Jones.
Okay.
Who died in 1981, I think.
Uh-huh.
He preached in London, late 40s, I think, 1940s.
Yeah.
He was a physician before he was a preacher.
Really?
Brilliant, brilliant exegesis.
Yes. I say that word two or three times.
Exegesis.
Boy, you're doing good, brother, I tell you.
He was an exegetical preacher.
Yeah.
That means he pulls the meanings out of it.
Yeah. And see, I love that. I love, you know, break it down to me. Pull it all out.
Yeah. His exegesis of Romans has been published in 12 volumes.
Really?
His exegesis of Ephesians has been published in 8 volumes.
8 volumes. Wow.
Those are two of the best collections of two of the best books in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I commend them to anyone who really wants to get into what the Scripture says.
Yeah.
Give you an example. In Ephesians 1, he does 3 sermons from Ephesians 1:1.
3 sermons?
From Ephesians 1:1. And they're like 55 minutes apiece.
Really?
And they're not repetitious.
That's amazing.
He's mining the treasures of that verse.
Wow. That's pretty neat.
Isn't that incredible?
That's really incredible.
So I would encourage you again to go look at these old saints who were exegetical preachers.
Yeah.
And look at how they pull the truths of the Word out of the Word.
Yeah.
I listened to an interview yesterday about one of the later translations that posed the question, why did they do it?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do a translation in order to come up with something new, but in order to preserve something that was old.
Gotcha.
How do you preserve the tradition of digging the truth out of the scripture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How do you develop consistency? Go back to duosimen. That word is translated multiple different ways in mm-hmm. the English Bible.
Yeah.
But in the translation I'm referring to, it's translated one way, slave.
There you go.
If I want to know what the word says, then that's what mm-hmm. should be my heart's desire.
Very true.
I need to get into all of it. I know you got something to do here. Go for it.
Got to get into our Pen from the Heart here on Missionary Radio. And, of course, you are listening to The Front Porch this morning.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for the many blessings you bring. God bless each of you for the wonderful work. From a Pembroke listener, thank you for all you do. From Crofton, praise God for Missionary Radio. The station is an inspiration to me. We're so blessed to have such great programs and a great staff as well. And from Katie's, thanks for your work. It's the work of God.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
And, of course, first time being in by himself, but you're doing fine, brother.
Mike's usually with me to keep me out of trouble.
Yeah, Mike, you know, he kind of keeps you humble, don't he?
Mike's the humble one.
Oh, me. I'd like to take just a moment this morning while we're kind of, you know, talking different things. We got a Bible drive coming up.
I've been listening to that.
Been hearing about that. Coming up next Friday, a matter of fact. And we're going to be holding that at the Activities Building at the Second Baptist Church, and that's 720 West 7th Street, Hopkinsville. So bring your Bibles to us, and we'll be live a couple hours there, and you can bring them out to us and everything. And if you want to, of course, buy some Bibles, you can do that. Just make a check payable to Cedar Bluff Baptist Church. And if you want to mail it in to them, it's P.O. Box 105, Princeton, Kentucky, 42445. And, of course, if you want to bring them by studios, you can bring them by here as well. And we're located at 1100 East 18th Street, Hopkinsville, between the hours of 8 and 4. We appreciate you getting your Bibles to us. We hope this is a big, big event this year. We've been doing it for a few years, so we're hoping this will be the biggest one yet.
They distribute the Bibles after they get them, is that right?
Yes. What happens, they go through love packages in Butler, Illinois, and then they distribute them in different locations all over different areas. So it's really neat. So, you know, if you're, you know, whatever shape the Bible's in, you know, some people don't have a Bible at all. So, you know, if you just got some of it, a lot of times I'll say if we just got part of a Bible, it's some than what most people would have, you know. So
we used to distribute the little one book.
Yeah.
Books of John or
sure.
books of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to distribute those.
Sure. Sure.
Try to get people in the Word at least a little.
Hey, little's better than none.
Yeah, that's how tracts got started.
Yeah, and I like tracts. Tracts is a good thing to have.
Some are more controversial than others.
That's true, too.
You ever read a chick tract?
No, I don't believe I have.
It's called Chick Publications out of California. A fellow by the name of Jack Chick.
Okay.
Draws cartoon style.
Okay, yeah, I believe I have.
You'll find them. They're about yay big, about an inch and a half
tall. Some of them have to do sometimes with, like, hell and stuff?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them do.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
One of their famous ones is called This Is Your Life.
Yeah.
But they're like comic books.
Yes. Yes.
So some of them are very controversial. Jack didn't care.
Hey.
He thought the truth needed to be told, and he told it in his unique style. right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, it just
so. Well, if it's the truth, that's the main thing.
I had a bunch of inmates that loved Chick Tracks at the prison.
Yeah,
you'd go out and see them handing them out and trading them on the yard.
Like, really?
Yeah.
So how many do you think that he made over the years?
Oh, probably 200 or 300.
Wow. So they just trade them back and forth and just take turns reading them. And that's interesting. Very interesting. Well, Tim, where else do you got any other place you're going?
Well, let's go back a couple more verses out of Psalms 88. Poses a question. Will you perform wonders for the dead? Will the departed spirits rise and praise you? Will your loving kindness be declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in Abaddon, that is in the place of destruction?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
Very good question.
When I come to the end of this life,
yes,
is there something else?
Sure there is.
Yeah. From the Christian perspective, absolutely.
Absolutely.
There is.
Absolutely.
Even from an unregenerate man's perspective, there's mm-hmm. still something else.
Sure.
That's the place of destruction, the place we call hell, place of eternal torment.
Yes.
Now, that's not popular anymore either.
Very unpopular.
People don't like the idea that a God who is love could send a person to hell. But that's a misnomer. God doesn't send anyone to hell.
We send ourselves.
Yeah. Men choose to go by rejecting the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If I reject Christ, I have no hope of eternal life. And apart from eternal life is eternal death.
That's it.
So this question, yes, God's wonders will work for the dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His departed spirits will rise. We'll get a new body.
Brand spanking new.
Yeah. You and I both have been talking about ailments in this point in our life. The older we get, the more of those we have.
Yes.
And ailments are uncomfortable and they're painful. But I'm looking forward to the day that I have a new body that doesn't get sick, doesn't get tired.
That's amazing.
We can't fathom it.
And two, something else that's really neat, too, we're going to have a brand new name.
That only we know.
That only we know.
And the Lord knows.
That's it.
Talk about exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity is an exclusive faith. There's only one way to get into the relationship with God, and that's through the person Jesus Christ. There is no other way.
No other way.
And if I don't go that way, I'm not going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it is more exclusive than we imagine.
Mm-hmm.
There are more people who hold to the idea of it. It's universal. God's going to save everybody. The Bible doesn't teach that at all.
No. And you know, Tim, we live in a society, you know, if you ask somebody today, where are you going when you die? Most of them will say, well, I'm going to heaven. And don't even have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
So that's a cultural myth.
That's it. See, everybody looks for that beautiful place. I think I shared with you all back a few weeks ago, I said, you know, I seen one of the actors that had passed away in a picture of heaven, and it had him holding a beer. I'm sitting here going, now, wait a minute. I mean, you know, what people have pictures of, you know, I'm like, wait a minute.
How do you form that picture in your brain?
I'm sitting here, how do you come up with this stuff? There's nothing that's going to be sinful in heaven at all. Nothing that's of this world is going to be in heaven.
Absolutely.
Nothing. So
heaven is a place where holiness absolutely reigns.
Absolutely.
And unless the Lord by his grace makes us holy, we can't get there.
That's it.
That's why righteousness is imparted to us, not earned. It's not based on merit. Mm-hmm. It's based on the work of Christ alone.
Yes.
Through faith alone, in grace alone, for the glory of God alone, as described in the scripture alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you was talking about being unpopular as far as, you know, I know our pastor mentions hell. You know, listen, if you don't live for Jesus Christ, there's only other one alternative, and that's that you're going to go to hell.
There is no other choice.
There's no other choice. And like you said, people just hate to hear that word, hell, but it's a real place.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I said, why would you want to go to a place of gnashing of teeth? Eternal darkness. It says, what, where the worm dieth not.
Yep.
Heat. You're going to be burning forever in torment. I said, my goodness. I said, I wouldn't even want to think about that. I said, no way.
The idea that of eternal torment.
That's it.
Reject that because everything in humanity says that's unthinkable.
Yeah.
It really is unthinkable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is the just deserts of men who reject God.
That's it.
Now, if God is holy, he must be just.
Oh, yes.
Holiness demands judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As you know, we've been studying the Revelation.
Yes.
We are in chapter 3 right now.
Mm-hmm.
My study, my preparations in chapter 9 now.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ongoing process for the unfolding of God's wrath mm-hmm. being outpoured upon wicked men.
Wow.
It's a staggering picture.
Yes, it is. Well, let's break away for a little bit. You are listening, of course, to the Front Porch here on Missionary Radio. Let's get into Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tada, and little words can make a big difference. Now, I'm sure you know the old story of the refiner who sits by a cauldron, stokes the flames, and he watches the dross burn off the top of the gold until he can see his reflection. Well, that story idea comes from Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, and it's an illustration of how the Lord refines us in the fire. He'll turn up the heat on our trials until all the impurities, all the sin, and all the selfishness come bubbling up to the surface of our soul, and then, like a refiner of silver or gold, God skims off the dross until he can see the reflection of his face in our lives. Well, one day as I read that little verse in Malachi, a word caught my attention. It says, he will sit as a refiner. Now, knowing full well that every word is scrutinized and chosen by the Holy Spirit, knowing there's a purpose for all these words, I sat for a long while and wondered why God chose that word, sit. He doesn't stand by the cauldron. The refiner sits. And suddenly that little word became such an encouragement because I took it to mean that God is not going to get up and walk away from whatever trial you are going through. He's not going to get distracted or wander off into something else while my test or your test is heating up. God is there for the long haul. He's going to sit there, carefully tending to the circumstances around you and me. And oh, this comforting thought encouraged me so much in my wheelchair, because some days it is so unbelievably hard. Look, I'm not a plaster of Paris saint with this disability, unfeeling or emotionally immune to the hardship. Honestly, sometimes the discomfort takes my breath away. But no pain can match the overwhelming comfort in knowing that God sits over my trial. He is sitting with me in it, and he's not going anywhere. He will let that discomfort go on for only so long. And in that trial, you will often find me praying, okay, Lord, you've got my attention. I'm listening here. I'm willing to learn or change or confess or grow, whatever you have in mind. From God's point of view, trials have an end. And from my point of view, sufferings have a lesson. And my goal is to learn that lesson, confess whatever sin, refocus my faith, or quit whining or bemoaning my fate or wandering off the path. Whatever God's purpose might be, I want to do it. I want to agree with my refiner, the perfecter and purifier of my faith. I want to cooperate with the Spirit and do everything I can from my end so that God can see the reflection of his Son Jesus in my life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says, quote, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, It will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Friend, between Malachi chapter 3 and 1 Peter chapter 1, you've got all the good news you need to face your trials and hardships today, because there is an end, there is a purpose, there is a goal. Take great comfort today that the Lord does not wander away while you are in pain. He's not on vacation. He will sit alongside you, watching over you, tending to your faith until it's refined to the degree that He desires. And oh, what praise it'll mean on the day that Jesus is revealed. It's a promise from the Lord, our refiner, and it's a promise that no matter how hard things are, you can make it.
Recently, I was talking to a longtime friend about Christian radio in general. He said something that impacted me specifically. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of Missionary Radio. He said, I'm glad you're listener funded. I enjoy listening without a long time of interruptions, he said. Missionary Radio is 100% listener funded. The truth is, it's time to share with you that summer slowdown has hit us early this year. We had a great fundraiser in the spring, but the actual funds are not coming in adequately to meet the expenses. We are praying and sharing with you the need is great. We believe we can remain listener funded with your generous help. We know you are our partner in this ministry and you want to know. Send your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville 42241, or go online to missionary.radio, click on donate, and use your credit or debit card through Cornerstone Payment System. I'm not asking you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. Thank you for your partnership in ministry with Missionary Radio.
I am Brother Mark Fong, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky, and I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, use Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
Welcome back to the front porch. And of course, once again, this is Tuesday, and we appreciate you being with us on the front porch today. And of course, Tim O'Dell with us, and talking about, we're kind of in Psalms this morning, but we've talked about a few other things as well.
Doing a little rabbit chasing.
Just, you know, that's all right, you know, as long as it's all good, you know.
We chase rabbits at Bible study. We'll be going along and read one verse, and somebody will say, well, what about, and throw out another verse, and that'll launch
another discussion.
Yeah. So we have some rabbit chasing ceremonies, but they turn out, they require us to think outside the box.
There you go.
And to get away from ideas that are somewhat popular, but maybe not real faithful to Scripture. So,
and we're seeing a lot of that now.
Yeah, it's incredible.
A whole lot.
I am amazed at the number of people who are standing in pulpits who have taken Scripture so far out of context. It just amazes me. I don't understand how anyone can claim to speak for the Lord and so distort His Word.
Me neither.
I just don't get it.
Our associate pastor at our church sends me stuff every other day of all this stuff that's being said, and you're sitting here shaking your head the whole time you're watching it. You're like, is people really saying this kind of stuff?
They are.
I'm like, this is crazy. And I said, the thing that really gets to me is these people are getting claps, and everybody's saying, yeah.
They will accumulate to themselves teachers having itching ears.
There you go.
Tell me what I want to hear. If I'm going to preach the gospel, if I'm truly going to preach the gospel, I'm not going to make friends.
Oh, no.
I'm going to make some people pretty angry.
We
talk about this, the idea that all men are sinners.
Yes.
There are no exceptions to that.
That's true.
And as such, all men deserve eternal damnation. There's no exception to that either. That's profoundly unpopular.
Very unpopular.
So if you talk about singing and talk about the reality of eternal damnation and that few there will be that find it, talking about salvation, mm-hmm. you'll make people angry.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine that God who is love would send anybody to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we've talked about that. We don't send people to hell.
Mm-mm.
People choose
to send yourself that
to reject Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two possible destinations.
Yes.
Heaven or hell.
That's it.
The difference between heaven or hell is a relationship with Christ, not a mere belief,
mm-hmm.
a relationship with Christ.
That's it.
Which is based on his work and my surrender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The old song, I Surrender All to Jesus,
song.
I Surrender.
I Surrender All.
Yeah, that's a great old song, and it really nails it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't control my future.
No.
Christ does.
Only he does.
So
he does.
I need to yield to his lordship.
Mm-hmm.
Have your way in me, Lord. Isn't that he taught us to pray? Thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Not mine.
No, not mine. But he is.
He is.
His will be done.
And he doesn't qualify that by saying, if it's pleasant to you.
That's right.
Thy will be done.
That's right.
Period.
That's right. That's right. You know, I was thinking, you know, talking about, I had made a post, I think, on social media back a week or so ago. I said, the devil has his own.
He does.
Because the devil knows the word.
He does.
He has his own. And I said, we as Christians have to really, really, I think of all the spirits of the Holy Spirit. I think one of my favorites for me is discernment, to be able to know what's right and what's wrong. And the Lord just gives you that discernment. Like, I can get around a person sometimes and just feel that, ooh, you know, I don't really want to be around them kind of feeling, you know, because there's just something just not right.
That person's spirit's not bearing witness with the spirit that's in you.
That's it, see?
Yeah.
So discernment, I think, is very, very important for us to have in the days we're living in.
It's critical.
Because, like we said, there's so many people preaching so many false things, and we got to know the difference, Tim.
And the only way we know the difference is by discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Through the word.
Yes.
The Berean Christians had it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
They checked it daily against the word.
Yes.
To see if it was so or not.
Yes.
That's what we have to do. When I hear Joe Smucatelli preach.
Sure.
I need to evaluate what Joe preaches against the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In context.
Mm-hmm.
I'll throw out one of my favorite words, with a sound hermeneutic.
Okay.
Hermeneutic.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's that mean?
Yeah, hermeneutic is the idea that it must be contextual.
Okay.
With respect to its location in the scriptures.
Okay.
With respect to its grammar, with respect to its historicity. That is, does I need to get my head around, let's say I'm reading from Corinthians and Paul speaking to the Corinthian people.
Mm-hmm.
I need to understand a little bit of what was going on in Corinth. Mm-hmm. To understand his language and how that fits with the conditions so that I understand what the people in Corinth heard,
mm-hmm.
and then I need to bring that to my own culture, mm-hmm. and see how it applies in my own age. That's a hermeneutical examination of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
must do that if I'm going to be faithful to the Word.
Yeah,
and it gets back to being exegetical,
mm-hmm.
pulling out all the meaning that's in the Word.
Yes.
Again, I'll go back to Martin Lloyd-Jones. He said, "Have to pay attention to every word in the Scripture. Every word has profound meaning."
Mm-hmm.
So, if
that's detail by detail,
detail by detail, line upon line,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
precept upon precept.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a scriptural position?
Yes,
I must be able to do that,
mm-hmm.
which requires study, thoughtful consideration. Mm-hmm. It's not just a casual reading.
Mm-hmm.
Casually reading the word is of no value.
That's right. You got to study it.
Got to study it.
Got to take it, like I said, in context, word for word.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really neat to me that you might read a scripture in the Bible, and then it's going to reference it somewhere else in the Bible in other places.
Yeah. Well, one of my old teachers years ago said, if you want to know what the scripture means, let the scripture define the scripture.
That's good. So, I like that.
Yeah. So if I'm looking for an idea or a theme in scripture, I need to go find out where it is other places in scripture. Mm-hmm. We have great tools with a good concordance.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Or nowadays with the computerized ability to search, not just for the English word, but for the Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic word.
Sure, sure.
So I can search the scriptures to see, go back to doulos again, where does that word appear in scripture?
Yeah.
In the Greek text, where is it? And it's multiple times, and then I need to look at how it's translated. I can take a Strong's Concordance and do the same thing.
Sure, sure, yeah.
By looking at the key number and then researching that key number.
Amen.
So if I really want to know what the scripture says, I've got to take the time to dissect it.
Dissect it, yeah.
You remember in high school biology, you had to dissect the frog.
Yeah, I remember that, and I think the pig.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those days.
That's how you became aware of and able to understand the interior aspects of whatever it was you were studying.
Yes.
You got to do the same thing in the Word of God.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, Tim, it's been good this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. And if you don't mind, would you close us out in prayer this morning, brother?
Certainly. Father, we just come before you in the blessed name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Your loving kindness that is from everlasting unto everlasting. But Lord, we thank you for your truth you have revealed in your word so that we might know you and come to understand your intentions and your purposes and your ways so that we might walk in lockstep with you, that wherever you direct us, we'll follow. Whatever you tell us to do, we'll obey. Help us, Lord, to be obedient, godly men and women, that we might bring honor to your name, in whose name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch this morning, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for The Front Porch.